Brisa says the mace to which the concept of rekev, which is the dust of a decomposed mace which carries tumma, the only mace that it applies to is a mace that was buried without clothing in a marble coffin or in a stone floor, so that the rekev is purely from the mace. However, if he was buried in clothing or in a wooden coffin or on a floor of bricks, the halachas of rekev do not apply. Ula said the halachas of rekev only apply to dust that came from decayed flesh, sinews, and bones altogether. Rabbi Yehuda Brisa says rekev that comes from flesh is tar. This suggests that rekev that comes only from bones would be tame. Or says the Brisa means to say that rekev from flesh is tar until there's also rekev dust from bones in it as well. So, for example, Ula said there has to be dust from the sinews mixed in as well. Over here, it's mashmir, as long as there's basar and bones, it's enough. Mar says it's impossible for there to be flesh and bones without there having been sinews involved over there as well. Zakhmar Vaiter, Shaman Bar Abba, the name Rabbi Yechanan, said if there are two maces buried together, the halachas of rekev don't apply, because each mace becomes like a foreign substance to the other, and therefore it's not considered to be pure rekev of the mace, pure dust of the mace. Rav Nosson, the son of Rabbi Shai, is the Brisa says that rekev that comes from two maces is tamei. You see, it does. There is a din of rekev by two maces. Rava said the Brisa is discussing where they were buried separately, and the dust of each of them then combined to reach the minimum amount to cause tumah, the malei tarvin. However, when they're buried together, the dust would not even cause tumah at all. Zakhmar Vaiter, Rabbi Barchanan, named Rabbi Yechanan, said if someone cut the hair of a mace and then buried it along with the mace, it's considered to be a foreign substance to the body of that mace, and that therefore the dust of that decomposed mace will not have the halachos of rekev. A Mishnah says all parts of a mace are tumah except for the teeth, hair, and nails. However, when they're still attached to the body, they are tumah. So Chizki asked on that, if his hair or nails were ready to be cut, but they were not yet cut, are they considered as already cut and therefore they don't have tumah, or are they considered that they're still attached and therefore are tumah? Maybe we can answer from Rabbi Bachana, who said that the hair is only considered to be a foreign substance once it was cut, to suggest that when it's still attached to the body, it would be considered as part of the body. Rabbi said this is not a proof, because it may be that in the case when the hair was ready to be cut, Rabbi Bachana would have remained in doubt as to whether it's considered part of the body or not. But it doesn't mean that he felt that it, at that point, it's still considered attached to the body. He doesn't know. Reflecting more, Rabbi Yomi asked, if the dust comes from the heel of a mace, is it given the halachas of rekev? Do we say that since the heel skin is already dead when the person's alive, maybe it doesn't constitute rekev, or maybe it does? Mar said, we can answer from the brisa quoted above that says that rekev from two mesim is tameh. Now, if rekev of the heel is not tameh, then we should be concerned that the rekev contained in this mixture from the two people is actually rekev of the heel, which would be a foreign substance, and therefore is not tameh. The Mar says the Brisa is not a proof. When the entire body is decomposed, it's clear that the rekev of the heel will not prevent the rekev of the entire body from being tameh. The question is when only the limb near the heel decomposed, the leg, whatever it is, in that case, do we say that the rekev of the heel prevents the other rekev from being tameh, because maybe it helped it decay faster, and therefore it doesn't have a din of rekev, or not? Mar blibes with a teiku. Fact Gemara Vaiter. Rabbi Yomi asked, if there's a fetus in the womb of a woman when she died, does that consider to be a foreign substance to the mother, so that her rekev is not tameh? Do we say that the fetus is part of the mother, uba yerech imayhu, like we said regarding other halachas, or do we say that since it's destined to exit the mother, it's considered to be separate from the mother? Mar asked further, if we say that since it will exit the mother, it's considered to be separate, what's the halacha if the woman has shichva zera in her? Do we say that since it had not yet created an embryo, it's considered to be part of her, or do we say that since it came into her from outside her body, it's not considered to be part of her? Rabbi Papa asked, what's halacha if there are wastes in the intestines of the mace? Do we say that the food was necessary for life and therefore is considered to be part of the body? Or do we say since it came from outside, it's not considered to be part of the body? Rav Acha, the son of Ravika, asked, what's the halacha regarding the skin of the mace? Is it considered a foreign substance or not? Rav Huna bar Manoach asked, what's the halacha regarding the saliva and mucus of the mace? Rav Shmuel bar Acha asked, if all these things are considered as foreign substances, the wastes and the skin and the mucus, the saliva, etc., then we'll never have a case of pure rekev. Mar says, no, the case will be where a person drank palm water, which is a laxative, before he died. He used a cream to remove all the hair, and then he was cooked. The mace was cooked in the hot springs of Tveria to remove the skin and the kicha and the saliva and the mucus, and that would be a case of pure rekev. Zakhmar Vaita, Abaye said, we have a tradition that a mace who was ground into dust is not considered rekev. They asked, what if after being ground, the mace then decomposed? Do we say that the ground dust contained all the necessary ingredients of the rekev, had flesh, bones, and sinews, and therefore is now considered to be rekev? Or do we say that the rekev has to come when the mace decomposes in its original state? Take Kublai Ptashayla. Ulam Rachanina taught a braisa that an incomplete mace cannot create rekev, also does not have the halacha of a complete mace in that the loose surrounding earth, that when someone moves a mace, the loose surrounding earth has to be moved along with the mace, but if the mace was missing a limb, it would not have to be moved along with him. And also, the mace missing a limb does not have the halacha of a complete mace in that if three mace are found buried in an area, they may not be relocated. If one of those three was someone missing part of his body, he would not have that halacha. Fekmar Mishta contrasts the mace and the severed limb of a living person. The Mishnah says that a mace has the halachas of rekev, and the severed limb of a living person does not. The contrast would seem to me that the limb of a mace would have a din of rekev. This would suggest that even the limb of a mace has a din of rekev, not like we said. The Mishnah says the Mishnah means that the concept of rekev applies to a mace, a complete mace, and that way it's more stringent than a limb of a living person. But that doesn't mean that a limb of a mace would have a din of rekev. Rava asked, if the limb of a live person decomposed and then the person died, what's the status of a decomposed limb? Do we say that rekev only applies when the decomposition happened after the person has died, and over here it didn't happen, it happened before? Or do we say since the person is now dead, the halacha of rekev applies? The Mishnah quoted immediately above said that rekev does not apply to a live person. This was suggested as long as he's dead now, it would apply to his limb, that even that was severed during his lifetime. The Gemara says, no, it's not a proof. The Mishnah may mean that a living person or anything that comes from a living person never has the halacha of the rekev, where we have as it may, it does. Rava asks, what's the halacha if an ant is missing a limb and someone ate it? Do we say that now it's missing part of the minimum measurement for malchus, he's potter? Or do we say that it's still considered to be a full burial and he's therefore chayiv? Rabbi Hudami discards a set of rice, says that we learn from the psukim that a sheretz must be at least the size of a lentil to give off tumah. Since the smallest sheretz that we find is the size of a lentil, when it comes into existence, that's the size. Now we can see from here that if it's missing a piece, the person would be potter, because here we're saying that a less than a lentil would never be tumah. You see, it's a shear, not a question of beria. So Rav Shmaya says, not a proof. It may be that the smallest sheretz cannot live if any of the limbs are missing, and that's why it can't give off tumah. However, an ant can live with a missing limb, and therefore maybe it would still get the status of a full creature even when it's missing a limb. So what's the story? Zokht Gemara, take. We leave over with a takeo.